gets colder. My eyes go thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live.
Good afternoon. My guest today is Conchita Sarnoff. She's the executive director of the Alliance to Rescue Victims of Trafficking. Conchita recently published the book Trafficking about the case of Jeffrey Epstein, a billionaire and hedge fund manager alleged to be one of the founding funders of the Clinton Foundation, who was prosecuted for pedophilia by the Department of Justice, but civil cases by victims are still pending. In the book, Conchita focuses on the extensive allegations regarding Epstein's pedophilia activities and the numerous famous people involved. More than 1 million children are trafficked every year in the U.S., and the global figure is more than 20 million, according to recent statistics. After a decade of researching the issue of human trafficking, Conchita published her book to help explain the problem. So, yeah, I'm going to bring her on now, and I want her to start the show by explaining her research into human trafficking that she has really worked hard on this. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Conchita?
Yes, thank you, Evelyn, so much for having me on your show, and more importantly, thank you for your interest in my work. As I had mentioned earlier, the reason I began investigating the Epstein case is because I actually stumbled upon his case as I was investigating another human trafficking case in the United States. And it took me a number of years, given the fact that I actually knew Mr. Epstein. We were introduced back in the 90s, and I had met him several times and his companion at the time, Miss Ghislaine Maxwell, who is an alleged procurer. The reason I feel this case is very important is because, number one, it sets precedent. That is, since Mr. Epstein's arrest and conviction in October 2007, there have been multiple human traffickers who have been arrested in the state of Florida who have gone in front of a judge and tried to plead not guilty using Mr. Epstein's defense. So legally, this is a very important case because you now have the possibility of many traffickers using Mr. Epstein's defense as their defense. Of course, if they commit similar crimes to Mr. Epstein's. There is actually one pending case in Florida where a Mr. Archangel, ironically enough, the defendant's name is Archangel Michael Hernandez. He's a, I would say, lower middle class Hispanic male, committed similar crimes to Mr. Epstein, and he's now facing 8 to 10 years in jail, while Mr. Epstein only served 13 months out of a 18-month sentence in a county jail on a work release program where he was basically out of the private cell in a private building most of the day, usually 11 hours per day. He was out and in allowed to work in his office. So that's the first reason this case set precedent. The second reason this case is so important is because you see, and I, at least I felt while I was researching the case, that the Department of Justice seems to have two different sets of laws, even though that shouldn't be the case, for the wealthy and for the poor. It is pretty well known within the attorneys who represented Epstein and those attorneys who have been following the case that Mr. Epstein's defense, which was an extraordinary defense and was led by some very prominent and influential attorneys, including former Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz, Mr. Jay Lefkowitz, Mr. Gerald Cantor, Martin Weinberger, Mr. Roy Black. I mean, there were Mr. Kenneth Starr, who was a former Solicitor General and also involved in the Lewinsky scandal during former President Clinton's administration. These attorneys represented Epstein and were able to secure a non-prosecution agreement, that is a sweetheart plea deal, for the crimes committed by Mr. Epstein, the alleged sex crimes committed against underage girls by Mr. Epstein. So we have a case that sets precedent. We have a case that seems to be a case where the Department of Justice gave an incredible amount of consideration to a predator and a current level 3 sex offender, registered sex offender. And number 4, a former president was implicated in the case, certainly as a material witness, it seems to me, given the information that I received and the court documents that I read. We have a former president who was implicated in this case because of his association with Mr. Epstein. We have a British prince who is fifth in line to the British throne also implicated in the case. And we have a Harvard law professor also implicated in the case. Professor Alan Dershowitz has since settled his case, I believe on April 8th of this year, 2016. So it's a pretty extraordinary case, Evelyn, and it shows the public how, in a case such as this, where the perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator, Mr. Epstein, who is worth, or at least he's valued at about $2 billion, and he's a Wall Street hedge fund manager, can influence, or at least his money has the power to influence how the government prosecutes his case. He should have been prosecuted like all other human traffickers under the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which is a federal law. The TVPA was enacted in the year 2000 by President Bill Clinton. And, in fact, he was not prosecuted under TVPA like most human traffickers who have committed similar crimes.
Correct, right. And he brought in sex slaves from overseas and everything else, didn't he?
Yes. According to the research and the documents that I have, Mr. Epstein invested $1 million in a modeling agency called MC Squared, which was owned and is currently owned, I believe 85% of it is owned by a Mr. Jean-Luc Brunel, a French citizen who was Epstein's associate and also a friend of his who, ironically enough, sued Mr. Epstein a year ago. And during his lawsuit, or in the lawsuit, Mr. Brunel claims that Mr. Epstein forced him to be silent, forced him not to respond to the attorneys, and, he was introducing Mr. Epstein to underage girls who were allegedly modeling for MC Squared. So it's a complex case, it's quite a convoluted case. And more than anything, it shows a tremendous amount of influence peddling at the highest echelons of government.
Right, and that went on in the government of Florida was involved.
Case was a state case. It came forward to the Palm Beach Police Department where Mr. Epstein lived and continues to own a home in Palm Beach. So it went from the city of Palm Beach, it went to state, and then, of course, the prosecution, the Department of Justice, wanted to make this a federal case after a 2-year criminal investigation, but
yeah,
they were
investigated that for a long time.
And decided not to do so. And so Mr. Epstein agreed that if this remained a state case, which it did, he would do three things. Number one, he would serve time, which he did. He would become a registered sex offender, which he has. He is now a level three, which is the highest level and the most dangerous. And number three, he would provide restitution to the victims, which he has as well. Now, what's happened, Evelyn, is that after he was sentenced, more than two dozen civil cases by the victims, underage victims, were filed. And so there are four pending cases today, two in the state of Florida, and two cases, all related cases, by the way, not criminal cases against Mr. Epstein, but all civil cases related to Mr. Epstein's arrest and his criminal case in 2005. And then, ironically enough, two new cases have come forward this year. A case where a Miss Katie Johnson filed first in California. That case was dismissed. She filed it against Mr. Epstein and against the presidential nominee, Mr. Donald Trump. And this young lady, Miss Katie Johnson, claims that Mr. Epstein, along with Mr. Trump, sexually abused her. I have not interviewed her. I don't know how accurate that case is. She is asking for $100 million, so it seems to me this might be a politically motivated case. But again, I have not interviewed the victim, so I don't wish to form an opinion on that case yet. All I can do is tell you what I've read in the court files. And then there's another case which has nothing to do with Mr. Epstein's sexual crimes. It's a white-collar crime case that was filed by a Mr. Stephen Hoffenberg in the state of New York, and it pertains to Mr. Epstein's alleged role while he was employed by Mr. Hoffenberg in a company called Towers Financial. And according to Mr. Hoffenberg, Mr. Epstein took money from investors, as did Mr. Hoffenberg, and by the way, Mr. Hoffenberg served 18 years in a federal prison for this. So Mr. Hoffenberg claims that Epstein took a chunk of money and used that to start his company. So here we go. We have multiple cases pending. I don't know where this all is going to lead. I don't even know if the state of New York has opened a new investigation against Mr. Epstein, but certainly it would be very curious to see if indeed, given the new cases, if they have opened an investigation.
Right, and then one of the victims sued that Ghislaine Maxwell, didn't she, for defamation? Because didn't she deny that she had, you know, procured her for Jeffrey Epstein and Virginia? It was Virginia. Was it Roberts?
Evelyn. In fact, Ms. Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, who is being sued now for defamation by Virginia Louise Roberts, who was one of the victims who met Epstein when she was 14, and she was working as a bathroom attendant at Mar-a-Lago, which is a club owned by Mr. Trump in Palm Beach.
Right.
And this young lady was allegedly procured by Ms. Maxwell and then introduced to Mr. Epstein on the same day, and she was told that she wanted to be a massage therapist. And she said, the young girl says, that Ms. Maxwell and Mr. Epstein promised that they would help her and teach her, and in fact, according to her deposition and according to the court files, she was not, you know, she was not exactly taught how to be a masseuse at the age of 14. Rather, she was taught to be something completely different. So she is suing Ms. Maxwell for defamation, and the attorney who's handling the victim's case is the well-known Mr. David Boies, who, as you know, did the oral arguments for Vice President Al Gore during the Bush-Gore election in the year 2000. He is representing right. Virginia Louise Roberts, who now goes under her married name, Jufri, pro bono.
Yeah. Now they flew that Virginia Roberts all over the world, too, didn't they? I mean, this is worldwide.
Yes. According to Virginia's deposition, she was flown to different cities to give Mr. Epstein's political friends and business friends special massages. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, special massages.
Exactly. Right. And you know, the question is, why would a 14-year-old girl, I mean, you can't, in the state of Florida, at least, and she was a Florida resident, as was Mr. Epstein, you cannot give a massage at the age of 14. I mean, that is illegal, just to give a massage. You have to have a license in order to provide a professional massage to someone. So why would any man, certainly above the age of 18, right. believe that a young 14-year-old girl without a license, who is a young adolescent, be able to provide a professional massage, right? I mean, it just
Correct.
Seems preposterous that a man like Mr. Epstein at the age of 52 would even consider such a situation.
Well, you know, today I was listening to some of your past interviews and going over certain things. And today, one of the things I ran across, and this was a picture from 2004, that how this pedophile network is spread over the whole world. I mean, here was a picture of some great big huge ball that was going on. Doggone it, I wish I could remember the name of it now. But, I mean, all the important figures from all over the world were there. Anyways, here's a picture of Epstein's group of four underage girls all decked out at this ball in 2004. I mean, and there's four that I know, you know, now from history of researching this case, that I know they were all underage. And it's like everybody there, I mean, this place was just packed. Everybody had to know these were his underage sex slaves, and nobody cares.
No, Evelyn, I agree. No, meaning, yes, it's dumbfounding that this situation, that these activities continue to occur, especially amongst our leaders. You know, the shock is, if somebody is ignorant, if a man is uneducated, if a man is ignorant, if a man comes from a different culture, meaning not our culture, not Western culture, not the American culture, I might understand how an uneducated, ignorant man from a different culture might somehow believe that it is okay to have young 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old girls prancing around giving exotic massages to adult male in their 50s and 60s. But if you think about it, our leaders, our government leaders, and certainly our business leaders who come from this country, educated in the United States, it's knowing our mores, knowing our social customs, it's preposterous, not that it goes on, but that it is allowed and swept under the rug. And I believe that it is... That is one of the reasons why I was so shocked when I stumbled upon Mr. Epstein's case and wrote this book. And if you read my book, and if your readers read my book, Trafficking, they will understand, given the research and, you know, the time that I have invested in writing this book, they will understand how absolutely extraordinary this case is. It's a film. I mean, this is a movie picture. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So I hope that you have the time to read the book. I hope your readers do as well, because it really is extraordinary.
And I posted on my Facebook page just before the show started your book for where people can get it. that, yes, I hope everyone will read this because I think this is so important. And the thing is here we sit going into a presidential election. Of course, I'm convinced that the votes don't count anyhow. The voting machines are rigged and they put in whoever they want. But people still do believe that their vote counts. You know, so here we are going into the presidential election where the husband of the female presidential candidate is involved in this pedophile ring, and then the opponent, Trump, has just had a case filed against him for raping a girl with Epstein. Well, the both of them were together supposedly, but anyhow, yeah, this is our election in this country. These are our world leaders, and then we go over to England. You know, I mean, that the sex trafficking stuff over there has been going on. I mean, all of this for decades. Well, look at the Epstein case. I think you said this is the longest case in legal history in the U.S., isn't it?
It is, Evelyn. Indeed. The Epstein case is the longest human trafficking case in U.S. legal history. It has been not the criminal case, but the related cases have been ongoing since 2008. His criminal case started in 2005. The other cases were filed between 2008 and present day. And we're talking about an 11-year-long case. And I believe it was because of the number of victims that came forward that it really made me realize how excessive and abusive this situation has become in our country. And, you know, I started a foundation, Alliance to Rescue Victims of Trafficking, in 2013 with some very influential and like-minded leaders. And we all, and I'm speaking now on behalf of my board members, I think we all feel strongly that human trafficking has got to stop in the United States. That
yes,
we have to find a way together to stop child sex trafficking. We have to find a way to provide rehabilitation and to be able to rescue these victims, which is what our organization is attempting to do. We're attempting to open the first safe house in Washington, D.C., because we do not have a safe house to rescue these kids in D.C. yet. Hopefully we will be able to open that safe house first. So the purpose of the foundation, Alliance to Rescue Victims of Trafficking, is to do just that. And the purpose of writing this book, Trafficking, which is available on my website, ConchitaSarnoff.com, and the ebook is available also on my website and on Amazon, was to show the world what an extraordinary case, what can happen to children if the predator happens to be a wealthy, powerful, well-connected individual. And that's why I think this is important. And, I hope the world understands the importance of protecting our children. They are our future. And if we don't protect our children,
the world would.
We'll have no future.
No. And this is the thing, all of these, you know, and when I say, you know, that people say, well, what was Bill Clinton doing at his mansions and what was he doing here and there? There is no way that they don't know what's going on because that Max, I think it was Maxwell, would take pictures of these girls. The naked pictures and pornographic pictures of these girls were all over the place in his houses and stuff. There is no way people didn't see those pictures.
Mr. Epstein traveled with many of the girls. I mean, many of the girls beside Virginia Louise Roberts were on his plane. According to Fox News, I don't know if you've seen the online report, I have the pilot logs, but my pilot logs only showed former President Clinton 17 times on Mr. Epstein's jet. The Fox News pilot logs show former President Clinton 26 times on his jet.
26 times.
So
in 3 years, right?
What we need to think about is, wouldn't a former president as intelligent as President Clinton is, and given his history and his own, you know, legal history with women who have claimed that he has sexually harassed them, wouldn't that put him on the alert? Why would he allow himself, especially if he knew that his wife, Mrs. Clinton, Secretary Clinton, one day might want to aspire to the White House, why would he put her, his wife, and himself in the line of fire? Why would he jeopardize that position for her, and why would he jeopardize himself, given his history?
They don't care. They don't care because they know they can get off from everything. Just like I said, the two candidates now, what are we facing? And the American public, go ahead and accept this, that this is the kind of people we have running for office. And, you know, and I keep saying pedophiles are running this world, and the reason they've gotten away with it is because people refuse to believe it, and they refuse to investigate. I mean, just today, a friend put on my Facebook page to quit posting this crap. Sure, there's pedophiles out there, but you're going over the top. No, I'm not going over the top because I am not quitting exposing this till it stops. These children have got to be saved.
Yes, absolutely
this has
agree
gone
with you.
On
the
and
children
on and on.
Must be saved, and the children must
yes.
be protected, and the children, those who have already sadly been trafficked, must be rehabilitated and must be rescued, because otherwise we're going to be in a great deal of trouble as a society, not only our local communities, but imagine the money that's going to be spent on just on the addiction of these children. Most of the children who are trafficked, by the way, Evelyn, end up addicted to drugs. One particular victim who is suing the government in the Epstein-related case, Jane Doe 1 and Jane Doe 2 versus United States government. This case is currently pending in Florida. Well, this one particular victim is, I understand from the attorney representing her and from the documents that have been filed, that she's a drug addict. Well, of course, I mean, not that I'm condoning the addiction, but how could these children who are forced to have sex, who are put in these situations that are absolutely abusive and criminal, how could they not end up becoming addicts? So we've got two problems. We've got the problem of prostitution and the problem of sexual abuse, and then once these children are sexually abused and forced into prostitution, we have another problem to deal with, which is the problem of drug addiction. I mean, when is it all going to stop? When is this, and who's going to stop this? And the government has
to
help.
Stop it.
They have to be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Correct. And this is so blatant. Like, Epstein would send these girls to schools to pick up these girls, wouldn't he?
No, what he would do is he was very clever. He's a very clever man, I must say. And he would have the victims who came to him to give him a massage, if he liked them and he felt comfortable, then he would tell them that they would be paid $200 in cash for every girl that they procured. So imagine a young girl age 14 coming to his big man, you know, to his mansion for the first time. This young girl is most likely from an underprivileged family or a broken home. She has never seen $200 in her life in cash. And now she's being told that if she turns around and asks one of her girlfriends to come and give him a massage, she will earn $200 in cash, tax-free, by the way. So this is how he used his girls. And he also told them, at least according to several depositions, that something bad would happen to them if they didn't comply. So not only did he threaten and, of course, instill the fear of God in them, he also lured and coerced and groomed them in order to have other girls. And that way he kept his hands clean from procuring, because he never did the procuring. I mean, that was clear. He never went out and solicited, even though he was charged with solicitation of prostitution with a minor, which, if you think about it, it's very interesting. Why would they identify a victim in that non-prosecution agreement as a prostitute when that girl was 14. They should have identified her as a victim, not as a prostitute. So I find it very interesting that Mr. Epstein never went out and directly procured. He would use the four alleged procurers, Miss Haley Robson, who allegedly procured many girls, Ghislaine Maxwell, who also allegedly procured many girls, Sarah Kellen, also allegedly procured many girls, and Adriana Roth-Muchinska, who allegedly procured many girls. He would use these four adult women, or at least they were all over the age of, well, Haley Robson, who was a victim at one point, was 17 when she met Mr. Epstein. So after that, he told her, according to her testimony, that she was too old for him. And and so she was given the task of procuring underage girls, and she would earn $200 for every girl that she would bring to him.
Right. And what, I forget where I read this, or if the butler had said this or whatever, but that he would get to, like, three massages a day? So do people
I couldn't hear what you just said, Evelyn. Forgive me.
That he would get as many as, like, three massages a day, and I don't think people realize
seven.
How...
I read in the deposition up to seven. But you'll read all this in the book. I mean, there's a lot of information in the book. It's a pretty extensive research. It's the first book, you know, that to be published about the comprehensive case and the 11-year-long case. So it's a pretty comprehensive report. And it gives you the story in detail about several victims and Mr. Epstein and his alleged procurers.
Sure. I went to get it one day on Amazon, and I downloaded the Kindle, and I didn't know how to download it onto the Kindle yet, but I'm going to. I'm very anxious to read it. I am very anxious to read it. But, yeah, this case, more than anything, I think really makes it all stand out that, right, if you're top politicians or world leaders, you get away with anything. And, I mean, this case shows it more than any other case I've ever seen.
Let's hope it doesn't. Let's hope that this case will open the eyes of many of our DOJ leaders. I mean, we have some remarkable, and I met along the way, I have to say, I am so very grateful, and I commend so many of our local law enforcement, beginning with the former chief of the Palm Beach Police Department. He is a formidable man, and I met so many incredible law enforcement officials working on Ms. Epstein's case. And I can tell you, we have some extraordinary people working, you know, working on the side of the victims. And we're very lucky to have these incredible people trying to protect the young girls and prosecuting those who abuse children. So, you know, we have some good, we have some very good people working on the front lines, working in law enforcement. My hat goes off to all the to all of them, and they know who they are because I've been working and talking to them for many years.
Right.
So we have the personnel.
Well, I understand. I understand the police in Florida were really upset when this went down the way it did.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, they really worked on investigating
it. It was mayhem.
Yeah.
It was mayhem.
Yeah. Because they put together a great case, didn't they? The police
they
in Florida.
They certainly did. This is an extraordinary case. It's a case that should be a film, because it's so outrageous. It's just so outrageous.
Well,
it makes the Lewinsky scandal look like Disney World.
Really, really. No, they tried to buy you off not to publish this book, didn't they?
Yes. Someone who I will not, of course, disclose offered money for me not to write the book. And while I was in Mexico investigating another case, which is the case that led me to Mr. Epstein's case, I was threatened. I was told that if I continued to ask questions to this director of a federal agency in Mexico called DIF, D-I-F, which stands for Desarrollo Integral de Familias, which is the equivalent of our HHS, the director of this particular chapter said to me that if I asked one more question, she would ring a bell and the townspeople would come and lynch me. And it was a pretty harrowing moment for me. It didn't even compute, I think. I think I was in such shock that, you know, when you hear something like that, you actually don't even believe that it's true. And I was fortunate that I had a bodyguard with me, and he pulled me out of my chair and forced me to get up and leave. But so I have been through some pretty distasteful experiences and a little scary. And I think that I decided to pursue this because I, not only because I have children, but most of us have children, and I would like to defend and help as many children as I possibly can. And these children don't have a voice, and I am very fortunate in that I have a platform, and I do have a voice. And so if I can help, that's what I'm here to do.
Right. And like with Epstein, like the one time, when you're in with all these world leaders and everything, then they give you gifts back. Like, I won't remember who this is. Maybe it will come to your mind. Where somebody sent him 3 12-year-old Russian girls for a birthday present.
Yes. Well, that was, that was a gift to me, a gift. Imagine that. I mean, imagine just using those words. According to one victim, Mr. Epstein received for one of his birthdays 2 girls from France who were 12 years old. And they came, they were sent on a plane to him for his birthday. And when the victim who claims this story to be true asked Mr. Epstein, why are these girls here? They're so young. He said, because I'm helping them, because they're so poor in France that I'm helping these girls out by giving them money. I mean, you know, preposterous, right? I mean, just...
Yeah. And then didn't he buy one girl from Yugoslavia?
They claim as well. That's another story that... one of the victims, and you'll read that in the book, one of the victims was 14 years old when he allegedly brought her to the United States, and she became his, quote, girlfriend. Now, imagine she was 14 and he was 50-something.
Right.
52.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And wasn't she bisexual or something? Didn't she sleep with the girls or something?
She bisexual? Well, she... According
or
to the document,
her to be that
she
way.
Had sexual relations with other victims and with one of the procurers and with Mr. Epstein as well.
Right, right. And then didn't he teach her how to fly? Send her to flight school or something other?
No, that was Miss Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell. She has a pilot license, and actually in one document... it states that Miss Maxwell flew former President Clinton off Epstein's Island in the United States Virgin Island and brought him back either to St. Thomas. Yeah, it must have been St. Thomas because you can't fly a helicopter to the United States from USVI. So she must have flew him from Mr. Epstein's Island to the island next door.
Okay, right. Now, this Ghislaine Maxwell, now the Clintons have stayed in thick with her, right? I mean,
can you ask that again?
I said that Maxwell, the Clintons have stayed in thick with her.
No, no, Miss Maxwell
was
an adult female.
Wedding.
She's in her 50s. Miss Maxwell attended Chelsea Clinton's wedding, which I found odd.
Bizarre.
I was not aware that Miss Maxwell was so friendly with either Mrs. Clinton or with Chelsea, and there were few people invited to that wedding, and so it's odd that, you know, that Miss Maxwell would be invited to that wedding, given the fact that it happened after Mr. Epstein went to jail and after Miss Maxwell was served and the sex scandal broke. So... again, that is rather odd that this would happen.
Yeah, and explain how much this Miss Maxwell participated in all this. I mean, she preferred the girls.
According
to
the documents, and you read, according to the documents, Miss Maxwell was a very active participant in this case.
Yeah, would join in with the young girls, even.
Teach
them how to do these things, but then join in with them to entertain
Epstein
and his
guests. According to the documents, in fact, she did. Yes, she did.
Yeah. And on all of the flights that Clinton went on, I think she was on them. And I think that a couple of those other girls, that Kellen, I think, and another one were on it, too. I mean, there were underage girls on them flights, and then Maxwell, who runs the show, was on it, was on those flights.
Yes,
I mean,
they
were
all on, well, not all the procurers, but many of the procurers. Miss Sarah Kellen was on Mr. Epstein's jet several times. Certainly, Miss Maxwell.
She was underage then, right?
You know, I mean, but that doesn't prove that the fact that somebody goes on someone's jet does not prove that they had sexual relations with underage girls. It just proves that there is a relationship between themselves and Mr. Maxwell. And if there are underage girls on the plane at the same time, then it also assumes that these adult women knew what was going on, or at least knew that something was going on between these underage girls and Mr. Epstein.
Oh, sure. And that one girl that was a masseuse on the plane, she gave an interview, I think, maybe it was Inside Edition or something like that, and she feels real bad now that she went on those flights and everything, and she said that she never was with Mr. Epstein, you know, sexually involved with him. But she admits that yes, on the flights that she was on, there was always a bunch of young girls, you know, looking back, she says. And she says she's ashamed now because, you know, that this is going to follow her whole life, that she went on some of those trips as an actual masseuse. But that, looking back, she knew what was going on.
I think,
I mean, what would you have a plane full of young teenage girls for?
Right. I believe that most of the adults who were working for Mr. Epstein, who were either his paid staff or were being paid, they knew what was going on. They knew what was going on. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I thank you so much for, again, your interest in my work and your interest in my book. My book can be found on my website, ConchitaSarnoff.com. And our work, the organization's work, can be found on the foundation website, which is Alliance to Rescue Victims of Trafficking. And I hope that we can continue our conversation at some other time.
Oh, sure. And you said that more than a million, I don't think people understand this, that more than a million children are trafficked in the U.S. every year?
Yes. According to the 2012 congressional report, over 300,000 children were trafficked in the United States. This is in 2012. According to the latest report, not the congressional report, but another report that I found online, over 1 million children are trafficked in the United States. Again, I don't like to quote figures, Evelyn, because I believe that they are inaccurate. I believe that they are conservative at best, soft. We don't have a data metrics, and I don't have the time to explain this, but one of the things that we need in the field of human trafficking is to create a data bank, a metrics where we can, at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level, we can collate the accurate numbers of victims being arrested and of traffickers being arrested and of children being prostituted in the United States. But, you know, that I don't know when and how that will happen, but that must happen. Child pornography happens to be the second largest business online. Pornography is the first most profitable business online. So how do we collect those numbers? We need to collect those numbers because child trafficking is directly related to human trafficking. And
how much money is made off this? How much money is made off of this every year from this human
trafficking? Well, according to studies that I've read, we're looking at a $150 billion industry. $150 billion. That's a pretty outrageous number. Again, I don't like to quote numbers, but that is what I have read so far.
Right. What other countries have you done some research in the human trafficking? And are they connected to the U.S., do you find?
No, I have not. I haven't researched corporations and such. I have
countries.
Strictly researching police document, you know, police research in terms of numbers. I speak to victims constantly. I speak to other NGOs working in the field of human trafficking, but I have not investigated any corporations. Certainly,
no.
Any corporations
sorry,
that have
I
anything to do with human trafficking.
No, I didn't mean corporate. I'm sorry, I must have misspoke. I said countries.
Oh, countries. Oh, Mexico.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Mexico,
Latin America. Europe. I mean, look at the Savile scandal in the UK. Prince Andrew, who is implicated in the Epstein case. He comes from Great Britain. I mean, you know, that every country. I mean, every country in Europe, I'm pretty certain, has a high degree of human trafficking victims reported. This exists all over the world. This is not a U.S.-centric problem or an Asian problem or a Mexican problem. This is a global problem, and we need to get to the source of it, and we need to stop it.
Yes, we do. When you were researching this in Mexico, you know, I was looking at some videos, and they said that they'll traffic the children into the United States. Did you find that?
Yes, they the cartels, mostly the cartels, traffic children into the United States, and how they do that is various ways. But one of the most surprising vehicles that they use to traffic children is the U.S.-based cartel called MS, M like Mary, S like Son. And this cartel, it's about 70,000 strong, is alive and kicking in the U.S. They have hundreds of members in the state of Virginia, in that tri-state area of D.C., Maryland, Virginia. They have hundreds of members in Long Island, in New York, and across the country. And MS is a pretty well-known and violent cartel that has been working closely with the Mexican cartels in order to traffic children into this country.
Okay. And so they have people waiting and willing to purchase, huh?
Absolutely. It's all about money. At the end of the day, it is all about people getting paid. And I'm going to leave you with this last story. I received a package one day from UPS, and I speak Spanish, and I was speaking to the driver, thanking him for bringing the package, and we just got into a conversation. And he said to me, I said to him, "Oh, where are you from?" Because I recognized his accent. And he said, "I'm from Sinaloa, Mexico." And I said, "Oh, the situation there is quite dangerous with the cartel." He said, "Yes, sadly, my mother is involved because my mother was told that if she didn't plant this particular seed, she and her family would be killed. And, you know, they pay my mother $100 a month, something my mother has never seen, so my mother doesn't have a choice." And I thought to myself, goodness gracious.
The driver, he was bringing
you. It's that simple, right? It's that simple. Here's this young, hardworking driver working for an American company. Clearly, he's not a criminal. He's a good person. But his mother is in a quandary, because if she doesn't do what the cartels tell her to do, she gets killed, as do her children and the rest of her family. This young man has been able to escape, and helps his mother by sending her money that he earns as a truck driver for UPS. So imagine, it's, you know, that's how intrusive this situation is. That is how prevalent this situation is. And one must understand that, you know, I'm certain this woman is not a bad person and not a bad woman, but she is forced to do this because it's either that or her life. But anyway, I'll leave you with that, Evelyn, because I've got to go.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for all the hard work you've done and for
thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you for having me on, and I'm sorry, but I thought we had agreed on just a shorter time. So I thank you, and I hope maybe I can come on another show and explain more. Thank you very much.
Yes. Please do. Thank you for coming on.
Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was really exciting having Jarnita on, that she has done some great work in this human trafficking, Conchita, in this human trafficking issue. And I'm real anxious to get that book. I tried to get it one day on Amazon, and then I messed up, but I'll get it. But I'm sure that it is very good.
Day by day, my life gets colder.